This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I fight the urge to do this because y'all know where I stand. Dibs, we all know where you stand, and we're never going to get everybody on our side. But will you please, those of you who are still out there, will you take note of a human being who is beyond objective? Literally flirts with the word robotic with the way that he looks at football. He thinks the idea that Brock Purdy is not really good is laughable. And that's coming from a guy who thought the same thing you did when he was coming out of college, which is, I don't think there's much there. And I commend Greg because he's one of the few people that I've really heard do that kind of an about face. Plenty of people will compliment Brock, but they weren't in on Brock sucks at Iowa State. They didn't even know who the hell Brock Purdy was, or they weren't watching. But Greg does it for a job. He said, I'm not big on what I see here. And now he's watched 2.5 years of Brock Purdy starting at the NFL level. And you can hear in his voice, you can hear in the noises he makes when we bring up his name, he thinks Brock Purdy's phenomenal. And that is from a voice who's got no dog in any fight at all. That's all. Just take note of it. This conversation, I know, and you know, it's not over, but it should be.
Right, and you think it'll never be over, and you're probably closer to being right than me, who thinks that it will be over someday. If he hoists the Lombardi, then all the haters have to go away, unless they win it 17-14 and he throws for $160 and everyone, see, they won despite him.
What's wrong with that? Tom Brady did that a couple times.
Well, that's Tommy. He won a Super Bowl 13-3 one time.
Exactly, and he won his first one 20-17 with a field goal at the buzzer.
Exactly, Vinatieri. So you're right that the haters and the doubters will always be there, but when you watch a game like Sunday where he is great, and then he's one part Tom Brady and one part Michael Vick, and he's running around going crazy, and there's so many plays in that game that I love from Brock Purdy, but my favorite was probably the one where he pumped, and then he pumped again, and then he did the Superman dive on third down to pick up the first down yardage. That was not only athleticism, but it was heads up and guile in the moment where he had to pump fake the defender twice to get him a little off balance to get the corner. And do you realize how many times he's actually able to get to the corner? That's the thing about Brock that is continuing to amaze me, is his ability to get outside and find that extra yard and get away from defensive ends around the corner.
Yeah. I like, for me, I don't really, I do, but I don't. Like, we can coin draftism, we can get into all of that, but at this point, I do sort of, I don't understand really kind of where it's coming from. Boy, Shasky undressed someone this morning about it.
Like, verbally?
Yeah.
Not literally.
No, well, okay. I mean, I wasn't here, so I couldn't see if, like, he was, you know, if it got hot in
took
her
it to him,
and
huh?
He was taking his clothes off. I don't know. But, yeah, like, that whole sort of, like, argument of, like, I know what you guys think you're watching, but Brock's not actually,
that's the word.
That good.
Brock's not actually
that good. Everybody's entitled to your opinion. I don't understand where you're coming from. I don't understand what you see. And most of the time when people are coming with that argument, they can't really say it either. What you're really saying is that you have a hard time kind of grasping or believing what you're seeing. So you're looking for other reasons why what you want to be true is true. It's kind of like what everybody does in politics now.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you think Brock's not good, you're one of the people at 6 o'clock at night that turns on a TV station so that they can tell you exactly what you want to hear. And then you go, exactly, there you go. Despite evidence of everything else everywhere all over the place. And then the rinse, repeat.
It's confirmation bias is what it is. So you believe something. If you believe that Shanahan is a choker and they've blown 19 fourth quarter leads in his 7+ years as head coach, including the Super Bowl, as a coordinator in Atlanta. So if you believe these things about Shanahan, then you're going to look at the game yesterday and we talked about who do you blame, players or coaches, and you're going to say Shanahan. His coaches aren't ready, his team wasn't ready, and all the rest of it. And if you think that Shanahan is awesome, then you would look at other reasons why they lost the game. It's confirmation bias, and we all do it all the time, especially when it comes to sports.
Speaking of Shanahan, we're going to let you hear his full press conference from today, literally in about 3 to 4 minutes, okay? And there's some good stuff in there and injury updates for the Niners. We'll let you hear all of that coming up in just a few minutes. Wanted you to hear this as well, especially because I think it applies to the whole player versus coach conversation. Listen to Fred Warner today with regard to kind of what he sees as the problem.
Yeah, no, not at all. I think it's just a matter of everybody doing their job just a little bit better than what we're doing right now. You know, it's not huge changes that need to be made or glaring issues. It's just little things that need to be cleaned up, and that's why I'm excited to get back to work today to fix those things.
Everybody just needs to do their job a little bit better. Now, you could argue he's talking about the coaches, too, and maybe he is. You could also argue as that's Fred Warner, and Fred will never throw anybody under the bus because he is, for my money, the best leader in the National Football League, if not one of the best players in the National League. How about both? So, and those things are fair. I think those things are fair. Those things are true. But I also think what he's saying to a degree is leaning in the direction of this is a little bit more on the players than the coaches. I think Fred sees that there are very key mistakes happening at key times that have twisted games, even if like you should be up by 21, but you're only up by 10 or whatever, you would have eked at least the Rams game out if you didn't conduct a comedy of errors that Fred is suggesting are things that can be cleaned up.
I don't know if he'd use the word comedy, but I know that's the expression. And yeah, if you're a Ram fan, it probably was a comedy of errors. And you look at the Juszczyk hold on first and 10 when you've got the lead, and all you need to do really is march down and put that game away. You're up 7, and you don't hold. You're 10 yards away from an easy field goal. You hold, you settle for a long field goal, you miss it. Mooney gets cooked for 50 yards over the top, and Greg Cosell with a good breakdown of that.
Yep.
You know, he had outside leverage, and he got beat straight over the top, and he didn't think that that route was coming, and good players get beat at times. And then the other comedy of errors that happened from then on. And I think Fred's right in many ways. And if any one of those plays doesn't happen, the Niners probably win that game.
Totally. It was a parlay. It was an absolute, like it was the kind of parlay that you can't hit. 7-teamer.
Yeah, basically.
8-teamer. If anyone, like, don't you think if the, and we can go back to the first half with the fake punt, but especially down toward the end.
Yeah.
From the Ronnie Bell drop to the Jake Moody miss to the special teams miss on the punt return to the ball over Charvarius's head to we could do that about 7 or 8 times.
Devondre Campbell and the PI.
If any one of them doesn't happen, the Niners probably come out on top.
Yeah. Yeah. Or at least get to overtime.
At least get to overtime.